Humphrey Isaacs did not rise when Melendi finally ushered Rafe into his office. He overflowed his chair, pudgy hands clasped on the edge of his desk, and glared at Rafe.
We are not pleased with ISC's performance.
One of the secretaries from the outer office darted in with a folder of data cubes for Isaac's desk, then withdrew. Rafe pulled one of the heavy, leather-seated chairs to one side of the desk and sat down before Isaacs could stop him.
I wouldn't expect it. Let's get past all the recriminations, shall we? ISC, in the control of Lou Parmina, did not maintain its fleet to the standard it should have. This impacts not only ISC's ability to defend its monopoly, but Nexus Defense's ability to defend the system, because you depended on us. All that's a given.
It's a disgrace! You promised!
Correction. I did not promise anything. I wasn't here, remember? ISC. A long time ago, before my father was even born, before you were born, did a deal with the Nexus government to provide protection in return for certain government accommodations. Like any protection racket.
Rafe noted with pleasure that Isaacs did not like that wording.
As with any protection racket, it weakened the protected. I will stipulate that ISC has had far too much power in Nexus for far too long. But that is not the immediate issue.
I could have expected you would attempt to evade responsibility.
Do you confuse the entity with the individual? Or do you want me to consider you fully responsible for everything the Nexus government has done over the centuries as it crawled into bed with ISC?
That's preposterous!
Is it? I think not. I think history offers many examples of relationships between business interests and governments that range from benign marriages to outright prostitution. Nexus was founded as a company planet. You know that. You took Jesperson's history course at Central, and he always laid emphasis on it. That's why they fired him.
Damned radical trying to stir up trouble.
Isaacs picked up a letter opener, turned it around and put it down, then picked up a pen and twirled it in his fingers.
Not really. Trying to point out the stress points in our system where trouble might erupt, as it has here. Nexus was founded as a company colony. The government has always considered the interests of ISC above the interests of other citizens, and always tended to believe whatever the leaders at ISC said. When these leaders were honest, and many of them were, Nexus prospered and was no worse off than it would have been with a different system, financially better off. But the goals of a corporation are always both broader and narrower than the goals of a government. Broader here and narrower there.
Isaac's gelid gray eyes narrowed.
You never went to business school.
Oh, but I did. I went to a very hard, very unforgiving business school.
Where?
He put the pen down, then picked it up again. Rafe looked him over as he might have looked over a side of beef.
How long would you survive if you were exiled? And how?
Isaacs looked angry, but said nothing.
I had, of course, grown up among businessmen and women. But when I was thrown out, I had to care for myself.
You had a remittance.
I had a pittance. And I didn't use much of it, because I became a businessman. Several times over, in different systems, with different laws and different economic possibilities. I learned more there than any business school can teach about what interstellar commerce is really all about. What it depends on, what sustains it, what damages it. I had a perspective that you, who has never traveled beyond the Moscow Confederation, who have never started your own business, lack. If you want to assess my understanding of business in general, and corporate structure in particular, bring in someone who knows something about it. I could not have found what was wrong in ISC as fast as I did if I'd been as ignorant as you seem to think.
Isaac seemed to shrink a little.
It's still wrong.
Many things are wrong, but we cannot deal with all of them now. What we need, you and I, is a clear grasp of reality as it is right now, today. What the threat is, what our resources are for meeting that threat. The past is, for the moment, irrelevant.
The past that included Kai Vada alive and his feelings for her, his father undamaged, his belief that ISC was as powerful as it had always been.
So what do you think reality is?
This time, Isaacs opened the cube folder and began to roll several of the cubes in his hand.
We, meaning the Nexus system and the people who live in it, are in imminent danger of attack by the same force that has attacked and overrun other systems, growing stronger with every resource captured. And, Unless you have a nice modern fleet hidden away in a box somewhere, we're as defenseless as a baby in a snowstorm.
And I suppose you have a solution?
No. I can help define the problem, but I do not have a solution.
Well, I do.
Isaacs tapped one of the cubes on the desk for emphasis.
You, I see, are going to hire a fleet to protect us. And it's not going to cost us a penny. You got us into this mess. You will get us out.
Isaacs looked up abruptly. Rafe was paring his thumbnail with a knife.
Where? How?
Calm down. If I wanted to cut you, you'd be bleeding. I had a hangnail. Now let's be serious. We can't hire mercs for you. You're the government. You have to do that or it's illegal.
You have to pay.
We don't have the money.
Isaac stared at him, jaw hanging.
For over a standard year, our income has been well below norm, thanks to Ansible's being out of service. No calls, no income. Second, when I got into this job, I found out that a lot of our reserves had vanished. Some of that's been traced to plain ordinary embezzlement, some to fraud, and some directly to the government. Third, as soon as I found out our fleet was in the shape it's in, I started spending what was left to upgrade and supply it.
So it's not that bad.
Oh no, it is that bad. Do you have any idea how much it costs to run a fleet the size we had? You should, in your business. But then you always depended on us. Cheaper to privatize. Let ISC do it. Put it this way. If I sold everything my family owns, the houses, their contents, the clothes off my back and my sister's and parents' backs, my mother's piano and harp, it would not supply one single warship for one single engagement. Our ships can't even use modern munitions, most of them. It's fortunate that rocks in space are lethal weapons, because we're in the Stone Age when it comes to ships.
How did it... Who let this happen?
Isaacs himself let it happen, among others. No use to say that.
That doesn't matter. As near as I can tell, it started some 30 years ago with budget cuts for the fleet because there wasn't any need. To that, you can add chicanery, not only in ISC, but in your department where inspectors were supposed to ensure that our fleet was maintained to standards you thought appropriate. They didn't.
We depended on you.
Yes, for a consideration.
You can't tell me.
I can tell you that I have a list of individuals in this department, and others, who took substantial bribes in return for not doing their jobs. And as I told your assistant, if you're wondering whether your name is on the list, you know you're guilty.
I don't recall.
Isaacs dropped the cubes he had been handling and picked up another.
Fine. But be aware that the list exists in more than one secure storage location, and that I have no more concern for the welfare of this government than you have for mine. As for hiring assistants, you will be lucky at this date to find anyone. I put you in touch with Mackenzie months ago. You chose to delay, and now they're working for the Moscow Confederation.
We have an agreement that I can still have some.
Good. But understand this. We can't pay for them. I have already cut executive salaries, including my own, of course, and all but essential expenses. We must keep the working Ansibles going, and we must repair the ones that others can't. That's critical to military action. We don't have any spare money.
You can borrow it.
And so can the Nexus government, at lower interest. Now I'll need authorization to talk to your senior commanders, whoever you're going to put in charge.
What senior commanders? We don't have anyone capable of running a real defense. You know that. We're just the local police force.
Rafe looked around the luxurious office, bigger than his own as CEO.
So, what do you want to do now? You fraud? Quit? You must have someone you think has some ability, unless you've done nothing for 6 years but sit here until you've filled your chair side to side. Call him in. Tell him to take over. Not Melendi, of course. He's an idiot.
I can't believe it's that bad. Your father, Lou Parmina, they never said...
My father never knew. Lou Parmina knew, of course, but he was hiding it. Look, we need to get the Premier in here. Contact Mackenzie right away. Get the commanders.
Isaacs looked outside at the blue sky streaked with wisps of cloud.
There's no time. They're on the way. They'll be here any hour. They could be entering the system now.
Rafe suppressed a strong desire to grab Isaacs by his jowls and shake him.
They could not. The early warning system's fine. If something jumped in, we'd be told.
We?
I'm linked to ISC's emergency report center, aren't you?
No. Why should I be? That's for a specialist.
Well then, there's no enemy spacecraft in our system at this time.
You're sure? How can you be sure?
The Rubigillium hypercontractivity generator. Put into service only 4 days ago.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
The man was worse than Melendi. The man was insane. Rafe wondered if he could possibly be dragged back to what must be done. If the rest of the Defense Department was this brain dead, his own staff and commanders might need to take over.
The Premier! And Mac and C!
Isaacs looked grayer.
Must inform the Premier at once. Shocking! Impossible! Must... Something! Something's wrong!
Rafe threw open the office door.
Secretary Isaacs is ill. He may be having a heart attack.
Melendi and several others rushed into the room, while Rafe moved aside. Odd. Very odd. Humphrey Isaacs hadn't been that muddled when Rafe first called to tell him about the problem with ISC's fleet. Something had happened to him in the interim. Something had happened, maybe before the conference on Cascadia Station. Maybe after. Rafe couldn't believe no one in the government had noticed. He stepped into the outer office as a squad of medics arrived and picked up the headset one of the secretaries had abandoned. The desktop had a direct link to the Premier's office, as he'd expected. The Premier's secretary was sorry, but the Premier was fully engaged. Rafe explained that Secretary Isaacs was suddenly unwell, some kind of emergency, and that he had information of urgent import.
Sir Dunbarger, what's going on?
Secretary Isaacs had some kind of medical emergency while we were in a meeting. I called assistance, and they're with him now. He was on the point of contacting you himself.
Why would he do that? We have a regularly scheduled meeting tomorrow morning.
You're aware of the situation on Moray?
An invasion beaten back by that force from Moscow Confederation and Slaughter Key. Yes, what of it?
When the secretary reported that, did he tell you that Moray is reasonably sure the attacking force is now headed this way?
What? No! Where are they?
I don't know, sir. I do know that Moray is a minimum 20-day transit in FTL, plus time in system.
Thank heavens we have your fleet to protect us. Will you need any assistance from in-system patrol?
Rafe felt a ball of ice falling through his body.
Excuse me?
I mean, you do have enough of your fleet here, don't you? Or you can retrieve them from someplace. Humphrey, the secretary, would have arranged that.
I'm afraid not. I told him back when our fleet was defeated at Boxtop.
Defeated? What? Where?
Mr. Premier, I believe I should brief you immediately, but not over this unit. We have a situation.
How soon can you be here?
20 minutes. Just a moment.